If you would, if you have your Bibles or you have pew Bibles in front of you, the black books under your seats, let's turn in our Bibles to Numbers and chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9. And we're going to be reading the whole chapter. Numbers chapter 9 in your pew Bible. That is page 216. And Numbers chapter 9, reading and beginning in verse 1, we'll go through verse 23. These are God's holy words, and so give your attention to them. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, "Let the children of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time. On the 14th day of this month at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time. According to all its rites and ceremonies, you shall keep it." So Moses told the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So the children of Israel did. Now there were certain men who were defiled by a human corpse so that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and Aaron that day, and those men said to him, "We became defiled by a human corpse. Why are we kept from presenting the offering of the Lord at its appointed time among the children of Israel?" And Moses said to them, "Stand still, that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, 'If any one of you or your posterity is unclean because of a corpse or is far away on a journey, he may still keep the Lord's Passover. On the 14th day of the second month at twilight, they may keep it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until morning, nor break one of its bones. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. But the man who is clean and is not on a journey and ceases to keep the Passover, that same person shall be cut off from among his people. Because he did not bring the offering of the Lord at its appointed time, that man shall bear his sin. If a stranger dwells among you and would keep the Lord's Passover, he must do so according to the rite of the Passover and according to its ceremony. You shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and the native of the land." Now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle. The tent of the testimony, from evening until morning, it was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was always the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey, and at the command of the Lord they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped. Even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not journey. So it was when the cloud was above the tabernacle a few days, according to the command of the Lord, they would remain encamped, and according to the command of the Lord they would journey. So it was, when the cloud remained only from evening until morning, when the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they would journey, whether by day or by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up, they would journey. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain encamped and not journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. At the command of the Lord, they remained encamped, and at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord, by the hand of Moses. And those are God's words. And so here in chapter 9, we're hearing about the Passover at the beginning. Through verse 5, Israel's called to observe the Passover at the appointed time. And then what the people were to do if they were unclean, what were they to do during the Passover? And they're given that information. that they should still keep the Passover, though in a slightly different way. They wouldn't be coming near to the tabernacle. They wouldn't in the future be coming to Jerusalem, to the temple. But they could still keep the Passover. And that, then through verse 12, and then verse 13, what if someone who is clean and not on a journey fails to keep the Passover? So what if there's somebody in Israel who does not keep the Passover? And it gives the answer. They will be cut off. It's that language again of excommunication. They'll be kicked out of the people of Israel. They'll be kicked out of the assembly, out of worship, out of the church. And therefore, it says, they shall bear their sin. The result of their sin is death forever, and that is what is pictured there as they're kicked out and they're excommunicated. In verse 14, what if there's a stranger with you? That is, in this, obviously in Numbers, what if a stranger, a Gentile, was with you, and they were willing to keep the Passover? Then they should be able to do so. Praise the Lord. They should be able to do so according to the Lord's command. And this was a full year, beloved, after Israel was delivered out of Egypt. And so this, in Numbers 9, actually gives us a time stamp where we're at. We are, since they left Egypt in Exodus, they are 1 year forward in time. They've been in the wilderness 1 year, as we come to Numbers chapter 9. So they have 39 more years to go in the wilderness at this point. And Israel every year was to celebrate their deliverance out of Egypt by celebrating the Passover, celebrating their God who passed over them, saving them from destruction through the blood of the Lamb. And so we know that Christ is our Passover Lamb. Just as Israel was to offer a sacrifice here at the Passover, as it talks about generally here, so Christ is our sacrificial Lamb. Our Passover Lamb who was sacrificed so that the Lord's wrath would pass over us. So to those who would believe, and to you today who believe the gospel. What did we do to deserve this from our Lord and this sacrifice of Christ? We've done nothing good to deserve this, to be passed over. But God loves us, and that's what we're going to hear this morning in Romans. God loved us, and so He sent His Son and gave us His Son. And then the rest of the passage concerns the cloud, the glory cloud, the Shekinah glory cloud, that is not a pillar of fire at night. It appears like a pillar of fire. It's still the cloud, as it talks about very clearly here at the end of the passage. But it appears as fire at night. And through this cloud that the Lord gave to the people of Israel, it was showing His presence among them. It was showing His guidance, His leading them, like the ark was a symbol of His presence. So the cloud, a symbol of the presence, but also His guiding and leading them, even through the wilderness. And so the Lord was without a doubt leading and guiding His people. They could see it very clearly. And they knew, and yet, and still, as God was with them day and night, they still sinned. They still saw the cloud, but they turned and sinned against Him. Often, as we'll continue reading in Numbers, we'll see it. And the same, of course, is true of the people of God today, the church. 1 John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten, of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We beheld His glory. That's symbolized here in Numbers 9 of the cloud. He is with us, even as He's promised. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And by His Holy Spirit, who's our counselor and guide, the Spirit of Christ, He's guiding us. And doing so by His Word and Spirit. And so in these things of Christ, the sacrificial Passover Lamb, and the Holy Spirit now in us, and we have His Word, we can give praise to our God. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we give You all praise that You are the God who has given us, did not spare, as we'll read later in Romans in the coming weeks, Lord willing, did not spare His Son, but He delivered Him over. He actively gave His Son so that that your wrath, Father, would pass over us. And Father, we are thankful for this. We're thankful for what the Passover in the Old Testament points us to in Christ and His sacrifice and the blood that He spilled so that we might be cleansed of our sin, so that we would be, our sins would be atoned for, and the wrath, your wrath, Father, would be propitiated in Christ. And we're thankful that this evening we have the great blessing of being able to celebrate the Lord's Supper, which we remember that gospel, that sacrificial lamb and Christ your Son. And we are thankful that in the supper we also are proclaiming the gospel, and we're foreshadowing that which is the common glory that we look forward to with great comfort and encouragement of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Father, we're thankful for the church. We're thankful that you guide your church, you lead your church by the Word and by your Holy Spirit. And so we're thankful for worship on the Lord's Day, morning and evening, that we're able to come. And we're thankful that you guide us by your Word. And we ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that as we read your Word, we hear your Word, we think about your Word and meditate upon it. Father, we plead that you would grant to us understanding of your Word, knowledge of your Word, and of course wisdom from your Word, that you would teach us how we ought to live because of what it says, and having therefore true wisdom. Father, we're thankful that you have seen fit to bring us all together today, and people here from a different part of the country, and we're thankful for them and their desire to worship you. We ask that you would grant to them your special blessing today. We know it's not easy being at another church and being away from home. We pray that you would grant to them your peace and your wisdom today, and you would comfort them with the gospel and with that which we'll hear today from your Word of God's eternal love for us, your children. And then, Father, we are thankful. We are thankful for the different difficulties that you bring upon our lives. As we studied in Romans 8, the sufferings you bring, the ailments of body, or the persecution, or the verbal assaults upon us as we go out and we tell people about Jesus Christ and we evangelize. Father, we know that suffering will come. But there's also pain in our bodies and our bones, our muscles, our just general sicknesses and health issues that plague us, some of us, for a long time. And so we pray for all who are struggling in body, that you would comfort them with the comfort that you give us in the gospel, and the great knowledge that we have that one day there will be no more pain, no more tears, no more crying, no more sin. And all those things in which we suffer on this earth, you will bring about justice. And we pray that you'll bring about justice at the right time, even upon the wicked who might attack us. And yet we still pray for their salvation. We ask that you would change their hearts, just as you changed our hearts. Father, wicked as we were, yet you brought us to yourself. And we know you can do the same for them. And so we pray for their salvation. Even kings and rulers and authority, and so our government, local and all the way to the federal level. And we ask that you would save them, because you desire all types of people to be saved. And so, Father, we pray that you would even save them. And save those of your chosen people, the Jews, not just the Gentiles, which we know it seems to be a mostly Gentile believers and converts over these last many centuries. Father, we pray that you'll bring about a great salvation of the Jews again, as you promise in Romans 11. And then, Father, we ask that you would help us. We know that as a congregation we are weak, we're small. We pray that you would build us up and encourage us in Christ, that you would grow us in our salvation, and that is in our sanctification, cleanse us of our sin and bring about fruit in our lives. But we also pray that you would grow us in number, not so that we can have just more people, but so that more people will be in your kingdom. New converts will believe and come unto Christ and worship you with us. And so that we can give you glory and praise, and that you would be given more glory. That is what our prayer is, as we pray for the growth of your church, and not just our congregation. We pray for the church throughout the world, the kingdom of God on earth. Father, grow your kingdom. We know that you are going to bring about a great salvation and cause the gospel to go forth to all nations and all tribes and all tongues. So, Father, we ask that you would bring that about, even as you work through us and you use us as instruments, as weak and feeble and small as we are. We know that you can do great things because you, in our weakness, you are strong and your grace is sufficient. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us. We ask that you would bless us, as we pray also that you would be blessed and glorified in your Son and by the Holy Spirit today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.